Welcome to Community Church's Sermon Podcast. We invite you to visit us online at www.ccfdl.org to learn more about our church and our ministry in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin.
What is the greatest miracle ever? Think about that for a moment. There have been so many great miracles that we read about in the Bible as well as throughout our lives. But which is the greatest? Is it the incarnation of Jesus, him coming to earth? How about the various healings of Jesus or the resurrection of Lazarus? How about the resurrection of Christ? Or could it be this path to salvation that he has created for us? There are so many great and wonderful choices. Which one would you choose as the greatest? If you'll follow along today, if you'll hear what God wants to say to you, through the scriptures that I read and talk about today, it will bring you into a closer relationship with him. It will lead you to want to worship God. He will leave you in awe. Good morning. I'm Brian Peterson, church chairman here, one of the elders, a member of the management team as well. Pastor Adam and his family are on vacation, and we're delighted to have you here. I'm glad you're here, and I'm glad to be here as well. So over the past few weeks, Pastor Adam has been in our summer series, God Is. The first week, he spoke about God is holy. Isaiah wrote, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." And then the next week, God is omniscient. As John wrote, "God knows all things." And then on Father's Day, Pastor Adam spoke about God is Father. And in Romans 8:15, it says, "Instead, you have received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father." Today, I get to talk about God as creator. He is creative. People can be creative, but they can't hold a candle to God. There are so many scriptures about how creative God is and all he has created. We could be here all day, but we won't. Today I want to use God as creator to help you have a view of God that is even greater than you had when you walked in here today. It should make us want to worship him and praise him. God's creation should amaze us, leave us in awe. It should lead us to be thankful for all he has done. I don't think we can ever get a perfect view of the magnificence of God, but the more we know about him, the bigger he appears to us. The bigger he appears to us, the greater our view of God is. Pastor Adam has been talking about this lately, how God is so much bigger than he appears to us. And the bigger he appears to us, the greater our view of God is. Pastor Adam also talked about how much smaller we are than we like to think of ourselves. I believe this will go on forever, our growth and how great and big God is. For those who believe and trust in Jesus, it will go on forever. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it is good to be here today to praise and worship you. We thank you for bringing us here. I pray you will use my words around your scriptures to touch the hearts of your people today. Use them in your power to bring people closer to you. Make this morning all about you and the honor you deserve. We pray this in the glorious name of Jesus. Amen. If you've ever read through the Bible, you've read the scriptures I will be reading today. If you've started at the beginning and not really gotten very far before falling off, you have been where I am starting today. The first time I read through the Bible, I was surprised and pleased to learn so many things about God. It was my personal introduction to the cohesion of the Bible. So let's go to the beginning of the Bible. Open the front cover. Shortly after the table of contents, you will find Genesis. In the first chapter, the very first verse, in the Lobby Bibles, it's known as page one. Starting there, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." That's point one on your outline, if you're following along there. But prior to that, there was nothing, nada, nil, naught. Then God just spoke and the universe came into being. Scholars use the Latin term ex nihilo, meaning out of nothing. What is the greatest miracle ever? I will contend the greatest miracle ever is Genesis 1:1. Everything was created from nothing. The second point in the outline, God created the universe without pre-existing materials. It wasn't something else prior that God used for his creation. It was nothing at all. He spoke and the world came into being. Reflect on this. Think about it. All this came from nothing. This realization should cause us to worship God. It should leave us in awe. Without creation, nothing else happens. Without it, there is no place for other miracles to take place. No earth for Jesus to come to. No place or people for him to perform his healings on. No need for a path for our salvation. It can be hard to comprehend this. Nothing. Nothingness. And then there is everything. This is astounding and amazing. We as persons can create things, paintings and music, machines and buildings, pies and cakes. These things can be very nice, but they pale in comparison to God. We need materials and ingredients to create. God needs only himself. A number of years back, Linda, my wife, and I went to hear Itzhak Perlman perform with the Milwaukee Symphony Orchestra. It was delightful. The God-given talent on display as he played his violin was evident. The sound of the full orchestra made it a wonderful experience. We were so pleased to have been able to experience and hear the sounds and creativity of those musicians. We were thrilled to have been there. I was a music major in college until I dropped out. Yet we still enjoy music in many genres. We are so blessed to have Kyle and his team leading us a community church. Listening and participating along with what they create helps us worship our great and worthy God. Their dedication, as well as their giving of their time, is much appreciated. Thank you for your part in our worship services. And maybe you have been thrilled to attend a certain event. It could be music or art, monster trucks, or a sporting event, or many other areas of life. These events are put on by people with talent, people that can create, that are creative. These are people that God has seen fit to give these talents. Yet none of these can come close to what God can create. They all need instruments made of materials God has created. They need to use sound waves to perform their songs using a nature God created. They need to rely on God to do all of this. God's creating is something that should leave us in awe. It should cause us to recognize who he is, how great he is, how big he is, and powerful he is. It should help us recognize how he loves us, as he has done this for us, this creation. He did this for you and for me. He did this so we could be amazed by him, so that we could honor him and bring him glory, so that we could worship him. He did not need to create his creation for himself. He was just fine by himself. We will cover that subject next Sunday. Psalm 104:31 says, "May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works." May we always rejoice in his works as well. Let's go back to Genesis, to verse 2. "Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness covered the surface and the watery depths. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Then God said, 'Let there be light.' And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. There was an evening, and there was a morning, one day." It says that God created light and made the daytime and the night. We need to remember that. It was God that created the day and the night and everything else. To verse 6. "Then God said, 'Let there be an expanse between the waters, separating water from water.' So God made the expanse and separated the water under the expanse from the water above the expanse. And it was so. God called the expanse sky. Evening came, and then morning, the second day. Then God said, let the water under the sky be gathered into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the gathering of the water he called seas. And God saw it was good. Then God said, let the earth produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and fruit trees on the earth bearing fruit and with seed in it according to their kinds. And it was so. The earth produced vegetation, seed-bearing plants according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw it was good. Evening came, and then morning, the third day. Then God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from the night. They will serve as signs for seasons and for days and years. They will be lights in the expanse of the sky to provide light on the earth. And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to rule over the day and the lesser light to rule over the night, as well as the stars. God placed them in the expanse of the sky to provide light on the earth, to rule the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. God saw that it was good. Evening came, and morning, the fourth day. Then God said, let the water swarm with living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth and across the expanse of the sky. So God created the large sea creatures and every living creature that moves and swarms in the water according to their kinds. He also created every winged creature according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them. Be fruitful, multiply, and fill the waters of the sea, and let the birds multiply in the earth. Evening came, and then morning, the fifth day. Then God said, let the earth produce living creatures according to their kinds, livestock, creatures that crawl, and the wildlife of the earth according to their kinds. And it was so. So God made the wildlife of the earth according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that crawl on the ground according to their kinds. And God saw it was good. Yes, God has created plants and trees, the creatures that have filled the seas and the creatures that have filled the airs, and those that have filled the land. But God wasn't done creating. And from the dust of the earth, he created man, Adam, the first man, and from Adam he fashioned Eve, the first woman. These two were unique from all other creatures God created. These two were unique because they were made in the image of God, Imago Dei. Genesis 1:26, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. They will rule the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, the livestock, the whole earth, and the creatures that crawl on the earth. So God created man in his own image. He created him in the image of God. He created them male and female. We are created in God's image. Being created in God's image means we have value, each and every one of us. Being created in God's image means we have worth that is not based on anything in this world. This is what separates us from other living creatures. It is not based on us, but who God is. And there is a cost for this. We have been bought and paid for, and Jesus paid that cost. This too should cause us to worship our Lord. All God has created is put together very well. There is a cosmic order that comes from God that he created. Yes, sin has come in and puts a damper on things, but what God has created is very good. If we skip to verse 31, it says, God saw all that he had made, and it was very good indeed. Evening came, and then morning, the sixth day. God did this creation for us. It is cause for praise. It is cause for us to pause and worship him. Let us do that with what the psalmists have written. In Psalm 33:6, it says, the heavens were made by the word of the Lord, and all the stars by the breath of his mouth. And in 90, verse 2, it says, before the mountains were born, before you gave birth to the earth and the world, from eternity to eternity, you are God. Nehemiah wrote in chapter 9, verse 6, you, Lord, are the only God. You created the heavens, the highest heavens with all their stars, the earth and all that is on it, the seas and all that is in them. You give life to all of them, and all the stars of heaven worship you. Yes, all creation gives you praise, Lord. Let us also praise you for all you have done. Here's a quote from an author and teacher, Del Tackett. Order is one of the overwhelming messages with which creation bombards us, from the atom to the solar system, from photosynthesis to the cleansing tides, from the human body to the design of a chicken egg. Everywhere we look, we see obvious indications of purposeful design in the things God has made. God has put his creation together with meaning and purpose so we can recognize it, so we can know him, so we can worship and praise him. Romans 1:20 says, "For his invisible attributes, that is his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen since the creation of the world, being understood through all that has been made. As a result, people are without excuse." God's creation leaves us without excuse to believe in him. It shows him to be God. We are to trust in him. We are without excuse to worship him. We have no reason not to be a follower of our God. The next point in our outline, God created marriage. God created so much more than just the material world. He created social order that starts with him. There is a relationship between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They are in perfect harmony. They are our example. They know how to get along together. In Genesis 2:18, it says, "The Lord said, 'It is not good for a man to be alone. I will make a helper corresponding him.'" So God created marriage. Genesis 2:24 says, "This is why a man leaves his father and mother and bonds with his wife. They become one flesh." Jesus quotes this verse in Matthew 19, verse 5, as does Paul in his letter to the Ephesians in 5:31. When Scripture repeats itself with thoughts and ideas, it is for our benefit. It is so we will pay attention. So God created marriage. This is an opportunity for one man and woman to come together. They can create a relationship that can be unique to our world, our fallen world. This is an opportunity for them to become one flesh. He created them to be one flesh, which was the next point in the bulletin. Becoming one flesh is a mystery. We can try to get closer and closer to each other. We can try to do this very well, yet becoming one seems almost too far-fetched to believe. It seems impossible. Yet we have the example of our Lord God. He is three persons, but he is one God. This too seems too far-fetched. How can three be one? Or how can we become two? Yet it is something we can strive for. We can find it in his word. Therefore, we can believe it to be true. God has put into people the ability to be creative. I mentioned this earlier, but this is an attribute of God that we can share with him, a communicable attribute. We are not at his level, of course, as he is an infinite being and we are not. We are finite. But we as persons are able to be creative on many different levels in many different areas. It's different when we get creative. To start with, we get creative with materials God has already created. We mix paints and put them on a canvas. We take a chisel and make a sculpture. We pluck strings to make beautiful music. We harvest crops that he has created for our benefit. We live in remarkable times. The knowledge that mankind has obtained is astounding. Coupled with AI, artificial intelligence, humans may be able to someday create a living organism by putting together the right material. And maybe they never will. However, God did this without putting the right materials together, as he was creating something out of nothing. He spoke, and the heavens and the earth came into being. I'm not sure it will ever happen, but our scientific community keeps getting closer and closer to being able to create life by putting the right stuff together. However, this community will never be able to do it with stuff they created out of nothing. Next point in the bulletin is God continues to create. Our God continues to create. Have you noticed lately the growing number of babies and toddlers around community church? God continues to knit children together. Psalm 139:13, "For it was you who created my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I will praise you because I have been remarkably and wondrously made. Your works are wondrous, and I know this very well. It is wonderful to see young children here. It is a blessing from God. It is a sign of church health, and we want to be a healthy church. Moving on to the New Testament, the start of John's Gospel reflects Genesis 1, which is the last point in the bulletin, reflects Genesis 1. John starts his Gospel with creation. He points out that Jesus was there. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. All things were created through him, and apart from him, not one thing was created that has been created. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. That light shines in the darkness, and yet the darkness did not overcome it. Dropping down to verse 10, he was in the world, and the world was created through him, and yet the world did not recognize him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, he gave them the right to be children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of natural descent, or of the will of the flesh, or of the will of man, but of God. Yes, Jesus was there at the beginning, and all things were created through him. He is the light that shines in the darkness. But to all who did receive him, he gave them the right to be children of God, to those who believe in his name. So let me pause and ask you, have you received him? Have you received Jesus Christ? Believe in his name, and you will be a child of God. It's pretty simple. If you're not a follower of Jesus, you can become one now, right where you are. Simply turn to him in faith, believing and trusting in Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. Speak with him from your heart. It's that simple. Even a child can do it. It's also very difficult. It requires bending your knee to someone else, to God. Sometimes that is very hard for us. For some of you, it never seems to be the right moment. It's not the right time. If this is you, stop. Make this the moment you really give your heart to Christ. Do it and you will be saved, saved from the wrath of God, the wrath that is to come. In Acts 14, Barnabas and Paul shout, "People, why are you doing these things? We are people also, just like you. We are proclaiming good news to you, that you turn from these worthless things to the living God who made the heaven, the earth, the sea, and everything in them. For you who do not believe in Jesus, know we all once were unbelievers like you, every one of us. We have had a change of heart. We have turned to the living God. He is the one who created the heavens and the earth. We have come to trust in Jesus. This is why we understand where you're at and what you need to do to make this change. This is why we understand where you're coming from. So reach out to someone here today. Talk with someone, and they will help walk you through what you need to do to become a follower of Jesus Christ." So we're talking about Jesus being there at the creation. He was a part of the creativity that God used, as nothing was made that was not made through him. Jesus is so creative. Just read the Gospels with that in mind and see if he leads you to be in awe of our Lord. See if he leads you to worship him. Paul wrote in Colossians 1, starting in verse 15, "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For everything was created by him, in heaven and on earth, the visible and the invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and by him all things hold together." Hebrews 1:3 says, "The Son is the radiance of God's glory in the exact expression of his nature, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high." Yes, Jesus was before all things, and by him all things hold together. God is glorious, and Jesus is the radiance of his glory. He is worthy of our praise for who he is and what he has done and continues to do. We started today in Genesis and moved on to the Gospel of John. Now I want to turn towards the back of the Bible, to Revelation, chapter 4, verse 11. O Lord and God, you are worthy to receive glory and honor and power because you have created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. He is so very worthy. He is our creator. He is the one that sustains us. He sustains the universe. He keeps us together. Without him sustaining us, we would all fall apart. It is the power of his word that does this. That is what keeps everything from falling apart. He is that powerful. He is that amazing. So where do we go with this knowledge? What do we do with it? How do we apply it? Here are three things we can do. Number one, we can recognize God as creator, not Mother Nature, but God is the creator of all things. It should amaze us. It should leave us in awe. In Job 33:4, it says, the Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gave me life. So let's recognize what God has done for us. Number two, knowing he did all this for me and for you should cause each of us to be grateful, for he is worthy. Thank and praise the Lord each and every day for his many blessings. Psalm 145:10 says, all your works give thanks to you, O Lord, and your godly ones shall bless you. We too should bless the Lord and give him thanks. Number three, believing this, that God is the creator, should cause us to worship God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Worship the Lord your God, for he created you and gives you, and hopefully, he gives you life, and hopefully he gives you everlasting life. God created the world in 6 days. Jesus left here 2,000 years ago, and he went to prepare a place for us. John 14:3 says, was Jesus speaking, if I go away and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, so that where I am, you may be also. Yes, he created the world in 6 days. What can he do in 2,000 years? Just imagine. And he is still creating. And what is to come? Revelation 21:1 says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared like a bride adorned for her husband. I do think that the greatest miracle is that God created the heavens and the earth, from nothing to all that there is. He continues to create, and we can see the evidence of this. So let us go through life in awe of all he has created. Let us praise him for the blessings he has bestowed upon us. Let us worship him for all he has done for you and me. Let's pray. My God and Father, we praise you for the wonders you have created. We delight in the beauty of your creation, from the mountains to the oceans, from the colors of the natural world that you created to the fingers on the baby you knit together. We praise you. You have created a universe so vast and beautiful, it is hard to comprehend everything you have made. Help each and every one who hears of you give thanks for being allowed to be a part of what you have made. Let them give thanks for the life you have created in them. Without you, there is nothing. You are a God worthy of our admiration, worthy of our thanksgiving, and worthy of our worship. We praise you and we thank you. Amen.